This is Director Jared Maples of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and I want to welcome you to Season 2 of Intelligence Unclassified. This season, we are refocusing our episodes to better reflect our office's three core mission areas: counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. We'll be pulling both local and national experts in these three fields, all in an effort to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and offer you a unique perspective on the current trends and issues facing the Garden State. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJOHSP. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov.
Hello and welcome to this special National Preparedness Month edition of Intelligence Unclassified. My name is Scott Gibson. I'm a senior planner in the Preparedness Bureau here at NJOHSP. Today I'm joined by Charlie Ambio.
Hello.
And Jim McDavitt.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having us.
Also planners in our Preparedness Bureau. Today we're going to be talking about supply chains. NJOHSP is participating in a new supply chain resilience program with FEMA to build resilience of our supply chains and how products reach consumers in the state of New Jersey. So we thought we'd give a brief overview of what supply chains are and how they work, and have a discussion on what they mean to organizations, governments, and people in the state of New Jersey.
Scott, so do you think you could give a definition of what a supply chain is?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically in the simplest terms how stuff gets from one place to another. A supply chain is comprised of all the organizations and individuals involved in creating a product and then getting it to a consumer, whether that's all the companies, a farmer, a miner, everything from beginning to end of how a product, service, et cetera, reaches a consumer.
So do you see that as how sometimes incidents that occur outside of New Jersey do have an effect on New Jersey?
Yeah, I mean, that can happen. It depends on the incident, and especially when you're getting into large-scale catastrophic incidents or even simply accidents occurring in the process, you can certainly see an impact because how a supply chain works of a process of goods or components moving through a system, right? If any one of those points fail, if any node fails, that can have an impact further down the line. And as these supply chains grow and grow, you can see global implications because of how widespread they are. So in, I guess, a more recent example for New Jersey, from the impacts of Hurricane Harvey, for instance, in Texas, which impacted a number of refineries along the Gulf Coast that had some flooding, required them to shut down temporarily. That led to the shutdown of two lines on the Colonial Pipeline, which runs all the way up into Linden, New Jersey. And in that context, while we didn't see any major impacts to New Jersey, there was a dip in supply coming from the Colonial Pipeline because there was nothing to move through the pipeline. It wasn't damaged in and of itself, but the source of that material could not push product through. So we saw implications of supply chain there because we could not receive product through the Colonial Pipeline. Fortunately, in New Jersey, we have a pretty diverse range of sources when it comes to our refined petroleum products, so we didn't see much of an impact. If that were not the case, however, that would be an example of an incident that may not affect New Jersey directly, but had certainly an indirect impact that could have been significant had we not such a diverse range of sources for petroleum in the state.
So I think the most important thing is working with private sector partners in helping look at redundancy and business continuity plans. We do that in a couple of different ways, I believe, already in the state, where we work with our private sector partners and we also work with public entities, government levels. Can you give any examples of the different groups that we're working with right now?
Yeah, I mean, so we have a pretty robust relationship with the private sector through a number of different pathways. One of the main ones is the Infrastructure Advisory Committee, which is kind of the state's forum for engaging with the private sector en masse on issues related to homeland security and preparedness. But the importance there, and one of the differences I'd like to mention, because you brought up business continuity, is these should all be considered part of a continuum, right? Like business continuity is focused primarily on the organization. It's identifying your essential functions, identifying how you maintain your operations in the event of some sort of disruption, regardless of the level, right? Supply chain, on the other hand, is somewhat an extension of that, where business continuity may be more focused on what you can control. A supply chain is identifying all of the other organizations and components that can affect your continuity. So while you may not be able to explicitly control each node or each component along your supply chain, that awareness gives you the opportunity to, like you said, identify redundant capabilities that you can have in place or alternative methods so that when a disruption or incident does occur, your ability to maintain operations stands. And that's especially important for, you know, when we're working with the private sector, for lifeline utilities, for organizations that provide goods and services that are life-sustaining or necessary to organizations and residents in New Jersey during and after a disaster. Those can be critical. So having that capability and really that just awareness of your supply chain beyond what is within your control is extremely valuable in building redundancy and resilience post-disaster.
So you mentioned the Infrastructure Advisory Council, which deals with the private sector. Do we have anything in place right now where we work with our public sector partners?
Sure. I mean, working with our public sector partners is a pretty regular component of what we do, all the way down to the municipal level, working with individual communities through initiatives like the Hometown Security Initiative, which is how, you know, we kind of present the services, programs, training opportunities that we can offer at a smaller level to small businesses, religious facilities, community leaders, all the way up to the federal government in programs like this supply chain resilience, what's called a collaborative technical assistance program with FEMA. And the end game of that one is a long-term, indefinite programmatic effort to kind of continue working on that relationship with the private sector and public sector to have a more robust understanding of how supply chains work. And in our context, that means how supply chains work both in New Jersey as well as the region, because as I mentioned, they're not confined to political geography, right? Supply chains extend beyond, they're pervasive. So having that understanding of where you may have overlap with another organization, those single points of failure, like you said before, that's critical to building that capability to continue operating in the event of a disaster or catastrophe, or even basic interruption of that specific node. Understanding that is where your single point of failure is in advance gives you the opportunity to mitigate that and fill that gap before something occurs. That's really the goal of what we're trying to do, is build that understanding of, you know, where you may have vulnerabilities, but also do it in advance to provide us with an awareness of where they exist, and then give an opportunity to mitigate that before it becomes an issue.
I agree with you. I think it's very important that everybody does look at their risks and does address them, because when it comes to supply chains, you're only as strong as the weakest link. And unfortunately, you don't have control. You only can control what's going on within your organization. Sometimes it's hard to control what's going on with other organizations. So I think that planning and working together for a common goal is the way to go.
And we do see different hazards, you know, the hurricanes down in Texas and Florida. But what about like cyber attacks and data breaches? Do they impact supply chain disruptions as well?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the key differences there is you're talking about notice versus no notice events. A hurricane, ideally, you will have advance notice. You'll know it's coming. You can prepare, perhaps pre-deploy additional resources in advance in the expectation that demand is going to increase, and then essentially build in that capability in case your supply is cut off, right? So that is the advantages of a notice event, such as a hurricane. On the other side, when you have incidents that have no notice whatsoever, like you said, a cyber incident or perhaps even a terrorist event, if that interrupts the supply chain, it's really important in that context to have that awareness of your supply chain and your vulnerabilities ahead of time. So absolutely, a cyber event could impact a supply chain, especially as we become more and more reliant on automated systems and industrial control systems that assist in the management and distribution of goods and services throughout the country. So essentially, it can become more difficult to recover from no notice events if you are not well prepared in advance and have that awareness of your supply chain and capabilities built in, such as redundancy and alternative sourcing methods.
So Scott, just to tie this up, Jim mentioned cyber. We can talk about terrorism. We can talk about weather-related natural disasters. How about accidents? Can accidents purely at one location cause a disruption in supply chains?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'd say that's probably what you're going to see the most as far as minor interruptions to supply chains. Those unforeseen incidents that are relatively on a small scale that even outside of the supply chain, you wouldn't see impacts, like the municipality or the county itself may not be affected by whatever accident occurred, but it could be devastating to a supply chain depending on the incident itself. So certainly those accidents that can occur and do, it's just human nature, accidents are going to happen. Those are another key reason why in advance, you know, understanding where those single points of failure may occur and having that redundancy built in is paramount, because you are not always going to foresee what's going to happen. And that's really the point of preparedness and resilience, is those no notice events are what you don't see coming. And when they do, if you don't have those capabilities and built in capacity ready to go, then you're going to see longer lasting impacts.
Scott, so what are we doing to build supply chain resilience in New Jersey?
So there's kind of a couple answers to that question. First, the Infrastructure Advisory Committee that we've touched on a couple times, that is comprised of representatives from every critical infrastructure sector in the state. And the point of that is to get people from different organizations and different perspectives in a room together to discuss preparedness and homeland security issues, identify overlap or best practices. And in this context with supply chain, it's really getting them in a room together so they can have those discussions and see where their supply chains may overlap or learn from one another on the process they've gone through to build supply chain resilience in their own organization and the best practices that maybe another organization or sector could learn from. On the other side of that, things organizations can do specifically is work with their partners downstream in their supply chain. Essentially, you know, if you are a company that services the state or provides a good in some way to the residents of New Jersey, a way to ensure that your operations and that product continues to reach consumers in the event of a disaster is to work with the other components of your supply chain. You know, work with your trucking vendor, work with your warehouse vendor, work with the other companies and components that you rely on to understand what their business continuity planning and standards are, and then identify where you may have single points of failure or you may have vulnerabilities, and that's how you can identify redundancies or alternative sourcing methods to mitigate any impacts you may see from a disaster that either occurs locally or to one of your nodes earlier in your supply chain.
I think you touch on a very good, important point, Scott, is when you're talking about supply chain and suppliers, it's great to have organizations come together like the Infrastructure Advisory Committee, because they all may be dependent on one supplier. And how do you find that out unless you bring them all together and have that discussion?
Right, exactly. That's really what we're trying to do, because one of the key words in this new program with FEMA is collaborative. And you cannot build supply chain resilience, not just in New Jersey, not just in the region, but in the United States or globally, without that collaboration, because there are very few organizations that own their supply chain vertically. And in the most case, it's going to be multiple organizations involved that you have to work with to maintain that process, whether in steady state or during a disaster or post-disaster. So yeah, absolutely. That collaboration and working with the private sector, public-private partnerships, that's kind of the key component to building supply chain resilience across the board. All right, well, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you, Jim and Charlie, for sitting down to talk with me today.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
If there are any further questions on supply chain resilience or the Infrastructure Advisory Committee, feel free to reach out to the Preparedness Bureau at preparedness@njohsb.gov.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.